This is KFSK's Midday Magazine for Monday, October the 24th. And just before we get started with the news here, KFSK just got a call that there are orcas, killer whales, in front of town near Saspe's Island. Check them out if you can. Petersburg's representative in the Alaska House next year will be someone from Sitka, either the 27-year-old Democratic incumbent who holds the seat or his 70-year-old Republican challenger. Sheila Finkenbinder, a former aide to Wrangell Representative Peggy Wilson, is campaigning around House District 35 this fall. She's making the case for a representative in the Alaska House to be older, with more life experience, and a member of the Republican-led House majority. Finkenbinder has lived in Sitka since 1990. Her work experience includes heading up the Sitka Chamber of Commerce and founding a Jobs and Business Resource Center in Sitka. Joe Vicknicki spoke with her about the state budget crisis and what she would do to make up a multi-billion-dollar budget shortfall.
Cuts. What cuts would you support? And specifically, I saw an ad in the Petersburg Pilot, I think it was a week or two ago, talking about your opponent, Jonathan Kreis Tompkins, and the level of spending he supported in this past session. Would you have done something different if you were the representative in Juneau during this past session?
The fact that they took money out of the constitutional budget reserve seems to be something that they're touting as a good thing. And, of course, we all want money for our ferries and public radio. But when you have to take it out of savings, and the savings are just rapidly disappearing, question is, how was that helping to reduce the budget? If that was what the governor wanted, if the governor said cut costs and find some new revenue, and what the minority did was put more money in the budget, so we'd have to spend more money that we actually were just borrowing from ourselves, how did that solve the problem of cutting costs?
So, to be clear, you would have not added that money back in. And that was for K through 12 education, public broadcasting, Alaska Marine Highway, university system, and I might be forgetting a couple other things.
Understood. I wasn't there, of course, so I can't tell you exactly what I would have done if I were there, but the majority worked very hard to come up with what they thought was a reasonable budget that could respond to the governor's request to cut costs, and they tried to get that budget passed. They had, of course, four Democrats were part of the majority, so it already was, in a sense, bipartisan, and the minority just kept saying, nope, we're not going to sign it until we put some more money back in. So, of course, I want more money for the ferry system and public radio and education, but if it's not there, it's not going to be there next year. It's not going to be there the year after. The price of oil is not going to go up fast enough so that we can have everything we want to have. We have to cut costs. And I can't tell you exactly where I would cut those costs. Again, I wasn't there. If I'm there next year, I'll do what everybody else does. I'll look at the whole budget and evaluate where some cuts can be made.
Okay. If you cut all the government spending next immediately and zeroed everything out, it still wouldn't make up for the budget deficit. So at
it's
some
still
point,
a problem.
You have to bring in some additional revenue. What
That's
is
right.
your top priority
right.
for bringing in money to the state checkbook?
We're going to be talking about taxes, as well as growing the economy, which is my... What I'm kind of passionate about is that we have to develop more resources and grow the economy. We're still 75% dependent on oil. It's not that we haven't diversified because nobody's interested in making that happen and already working on it, but that has to be a priority, too, is how can we get more of our resources developed so that more income is coming into the state and corporate taxes and things like that, jobs. That's kind of long-term. We are going to be talking about taxes, and I've been misquoted as far as saying I'm not for taxes. What I said the other night when we had a forum was, I'm not the one that's going to bring these forward. The the governor has in the past, and he will next year, say, I want you to talk about these taxes. So, and as I've gone around the districts, I've pretty much had that conversation with a lot of people, mainly the two big ones, sales tax or income tax, and how do people feel about either one of those, because it's probably going to happen. So, yeah, we're probably going to have some more taxes.
You've also brought up the issue of having someone be in the House majority who's elected to this seat.
It certainly helps from what I've seen.
I wanted to ask about that. In the past session, we've seen members of the House majority disciplined for not voting with the majority leadership on certain issues, losing committee posts and other ways they've been disciplined. Do you foresee that to be an issue if you're elected and a part of the House majority? Would you vote along with the House leadership, even if it meant voting against interests of your district?
Hard to answer the question without having a specific situation come up.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, there's going to be times when you kind of have to decide between voting your conscience and voting with the majority, I guess. But like on the budget, when it comes to the budget, they negotiate and negotiate and negotiate. In the end, you kind of have to say yes to the budget, even if it's not the way you think it should be perfectly, because you need to get it passed. That's their role, is to get the budget passed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to evaluate each particular situation that I was in if to see if I was going to come up with a situation like that.
Again, that was Sheila Finkenbinder, who is running for House District 35 against incumbent Jonathan Christ Tompkins. There's a longer version of that interview available on our website. Go to kfsk.org. We will be hearing from Jonathan Christ Tompkins later this week on local news. The general election is Tuesday, November the 8th. Absentee voting started up today and is available through November 7th, and that's happening at the Petersburg Public Library from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. Shop class isn't for everyone, but for some students, it's everything. A former Petersburg High School shop teacher who is connecting with new students agrees that the shop is where it's at. 15-year-old Sebastian Davis is securing an aluminum rod to a part of a lathe machine in the high school shop. The teenager is interested in learning more about the huge machine, which turns metal so it can be carved and shaped. Davis starts up the motor, and wearing a face shield, slowly leans in and begins carving into the metal piece. Paying close attention to the progress is Bill Newman, a Petersburg shop teacher from decades ago. He's wearing a baseball cap and a red flannel shirt. The school purchased the lathe in the late 1980s, while Newman was still the shop teacher.
Well, I think it's called like an engine lathe. It's a big industrial type lathe, you know, that you see in a factory. Or
this lathe is for metal, but the teenager is also interested in woodworking. Davis has begun a new project of building a large doghouse in the next room. He walks me over to a pile of 6-foot-long alder logs that he's harvested.
So I'm making a little log cabin doghouse.
He says the house he is making is for his large dog, Millie.
Half German Shepherd, half Malamute. Then got a little sled over here that I position him in, then run that on the bandsaw and make two sides flat so you can nice and level them up.
Shop class has interested Davis from the beginning. As a freshman, he built a fold-up wood stove for camping. He says he likes that shop is different than his other high school classes.
I'm not sitting down. I'm actually doing stuff with my hands and not listening to a teacher lecture us all day.
Newman, the former shop teacher, understands. He's taught the subject for 30 years. He retired from teaching in Petersburg in 1989.
Well, I loved it, and I feel that I got along very well with all my students. Like I said, I just loved being a shop teacher. It was so neat. Informalness of it, I guess. I don't think I could have been a classroom teacher, like a math or history teacher or something.
We did our welding.
Newman empties a plastic bag full of knives into a cardboard box.
I have no idea how many of them we made in here, but 500 maybe over the years, you know. Just kids loved making them. It was a great project. This is one I think I carried for years and years, deer hunting and cutting out deer and that. I mean, we used them, and the kids all used them.
Newman's students also built and sold smokehouses for years.
We mass-produced those, and we sold them as quick as we could build them. And I'll bet we made over a number of years, probably 100 smokehouses, and they're still around town.
Back at the lathe machine, Newman monitors Davis's work.
Yeah, I think that would be just if you wanted to cut a square shoulder, you know, on something. But I think the round nose, just the roughing it down.
Okay.
One of Newman's favorite projects as a teacher was helping his class build a mini log cabin out of alder, complete with windows and furniture. Now he will get a chance to see that kind of project come together again as Davis pursues his log cabin doghouse. The idea to bring the two together was the current shop teacher's, Dave Owens.
I thought, what a great opportunity. We've got a young guy who's interested in this. Sebastian has a lot of skills, a lot of talents, just working with his hands and watching him take on that project, and he wants to do it right. So it just seemed like a natural connection to bring the two of them in.
Newman has visited the school shop over the last 27 years that he's been retired, maybe a few times a year. But now he says he plans to make it a regular habit. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning. Wildlife troopers shot and killed a brown bear sow and her two cubs in a Sitka neighborhood late last week. Well, it's not the first report of an aggressive bear near downtown. The three bears were the first animals destroyed this year for public safety. KCAW's Emily Russell has more from Sitka.
Alaska Wildlife Trooper Kyle Ferguson responded to the bear sighting on Granite Creek Road around 5:30 Thursday evening. Ferguson says, like most of the recent bear sightings in town, the sow was searching for food.
The bear grabbed a large trash dumpster, one of the large round ones that are commonly used in town, and rolled it down an embankment near some homes.
That the sow grabbed the entire dumpster, and not just one or two bags of trash, is why Ferguson knew this wouldn't be a routine case where he could scare the bear away with sirens or rubber bullets. He says the dumpster provided the sow and her cubs with more food than they could eat in one sitting.
So she, like bears do, established a food cache there, buried parts of it, and remained in the area and was very defensive and aggressive towards people.
Ferguson compares the scenario to the way a bear would act if it were guarding a deer it had killed and cached for later. There was no scaring this bear away from her food source. So, for the sake of public safety, Ferguson shot and killed the aggressive sow. The cubs, which he said weighed no more than 80 or 90 pounds apiece, were not acting aggressively. He says they lingered after their mother was shot, not really knowing what to do.
It's a sad deal because all they've ever known is mom, and they're going to stay with mom.
In a case like this, responding officers have two options. The first is to capture the cubs and send them off to a zoo or a place like Fortress of the Bear, which rescues orphan cubs.
But in order for that to happen, there needs to be a pre-existing request. That is, there has to be some zoo or other organization on record that says, hey, we're looking for some brown bear cubs from Alaska.
And Ferguson says there wasn't. So, without any alternative placement options, the decision was ultimately made to kill the two cubs as well. All three bears are treated the same way a bear killed in defense of life or property would be.
The bear is skinned, the hide with claws attached, and the skull are turned over to the Department of Fish and Game, their property of the state. And then the meat, here locally, we donate to the Raptor Center.
Alaska Wildlife Troopers and the Sitka Police Department continue to urge residents to be responsible with their garbage.
While we cannot tolerate an aggressive brown bear in a residential area, there needs to be a greater level of understanding from people in the community that we live in brown bear country and you need to be responsible with your garbage.
The dumpster the sow dragged off was secured shut with chains and clips, but even that didn't deter the bear from prying it open. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Russell.
Also, last Thursday in Sitka, Fish and Game received a report from a group of hikers of an aggressive bear on Sitka's Mount Verstovia Trail. Wildlife troopers were notified and plan to put up signage at that trailhead. Well, this wraps up KFSK's Midday Magazine. I'm Angela Denning. Thanks for listening.